stand on and keep and realize that it was my way of going through. The subject for this morning is the power of joy. The power of joy. And I don't know about you, but my joy level has been low. My joy level got low one time when I was not pastoring. I was just going through some things, some personal things years ago, and my joy level got low. And I had to go to God and allow him to raise that joy level so that I could make it through when I was going through. And then I learned the power of joy back then. But since I've been pastoring, there have been different things that come and go and come and go. And I didn't realize one day I was sitting here and I said, Lord, I said, my joy is low. I'm not walking in the joy that I was walking in when I first started the church. My joy is not where it should be. And so the Lord let me know that I had to reach down and rekindle that joy, because joy, it's in you. It's in us. I had to reach down and rekindle that joy. And there's power in joy. There is power in joy. There's strength in joy. And I read Psalms 126, 1, 2, 3 about children of Israel and how when they were in captivity, they had no joy. But when the Lord turned that captivity and brought them out, they said their mouths were filled with laughter and their tongues were singing. And not only were their tongues and mouth filled with laughter and singing, but all those around them saw them laughing and singing too. And they began to say, the Lord has done great things for them. One thing about joy, joy is catching. Joy is catching. Well, if joy is catching, then all that other stuff is catching too, ain't it? If you ain't got no joy and you acting all sad and down, you can bring other people, if they allow it, you can bring other people's countenance down because you're all sad and looking like that. I'm going to read the Passion Translation of Psalms 126, 1 through 3 again. It was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion. We laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in saying, the Lord has done great miracles for them. Yes, he did mighty miracles and we were overjoyed. Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us our former glory. I don't know this morning whether your joy is down low or your joy is overflowing. I have no way of knowing where your joy level is. The only joy level I know is mine. And I know this. If I look at you long enough, I can see where your joy level is. Because joy has this effect. Joy doesn't stay on the inside. Joy has a way of coming out. It's coming out in our actions. It's coming out in what we do and what we say and how we live. Joy comes out. And joy is something that every Christian has been given. We all have been given joy. Every believer has joy. And joy is not dependent on circumstances. My joy is not dependent on circumstances. Woo-hoo-hoo. My joy is not dependent on people that are around me. My joy is not dependent on what people do to me or say to me or things like that. It doesn't matter whether or not I got $2, $5, $10, or $100. You know, that's joy. Our joy does not depend on our circumstances and the different situations we face. But our joy is in the Lord, the one who never changes and who is constantly with us. Matter of fact, Jesus is our joy. We are told in Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. And we didn't get it the first time. Again, he told us to rejoice. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. No joy, no strength. If you want strength, you got to have joy. You got to learn to just talk yourself happy because you got joy. Joy, happiness is not joy. But joy sure will make you happy, won't it? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's go to Acts 5:41 and look at that. Acts 5:41. And I'm going to read the New King James Version. The disciples, the day of Pentecost had come. The disciples were preaching Jesus. That's what he told them to do. Preach Jesus. That's what they were doing. They were preaching Jesus. They were healing the sick. But of course, the Jewish council got mad because they thought when they crucified Jesus, that was going to be the end of it. They didn't realize it was just the beginning. And so they brought the disciples in, and they persecuted them. They beat them and told them to go out and don't preach in his name no more. Don't say this name. Don't preach this name. Don't tell folks he rose from the dead. Don't try to bring this man blood on our hands. And look what the disciple says in Acts 5:41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Can you imagine? You just got beat. You just got told, don't go preach no more. And you don't know if you go preach what's going to happen next. But they left from there rejoicing that they were worthy to be counted to suffer for his name. They were counted worthy to suffer for shame for his name. Even in the midst of persecution and suffering, the disciples had joy. Ooh, they had joy. 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 Isn't it good in the midst of persecution, you can still have your joy? You can still have the joy of the Lord? Galatians 5:22 tells us that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the, I'm going to put it this way, the right way. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. But in that fruit, there's ingredients. And one of the ingredients of that fruit is joy. Joy. So we all have joy because we have the fruit of the Spirit. You have joy on the inside of you. And when you got saved at salvation, you received the fruit which had joy in it. It's got everything else in it, but I'm just talking about joy this morning. It's got the love, the peace, the long-suffering. But joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is in you. It's in me. So what is joy? I look joy up. And joy is cheerfulness. You ever seen Christians look like they ate a sour lemon? Probably all of us have looked sometime like we ate a sour lemon. But joy is cheerfulness. It's cheerfulness. And then it said it's calm delight. I might not be jumping and hollering or saying anything, but if you look at me, you'll see that calm delight. That means joy is there. And then joy is gladness. It's gladness. It's gladness. And to rejoice means to be full of cheerfulness, full of that calm, happy delight, and full of that gladness to rejoice. Let's look at Philippians 4:4. We talked about it at the beginning, then we're going to look at it. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. What do you do when it seems like nothing is going the way you expect it to do? You rejoice. How often? Always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Let's look at John 15:11. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said these words in John 15:11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. If you read the 15th, well, it really started in the 14th chapter of St. John, in the 15th chapter, some of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And I remember reading John, the Gospel of John, before I got saved. It seemed like there was something in the Gospel of John that I could read and understand before I got saved. And I had this thing about, I don't know whether the Bible's true or not, all of it, but I know the red is true because Jesus said that. So I would read the red in the Bible. I would read that. And so Jesus was telling the disciples about his death and about the Holy Spirit and about abiding in him and his word abiding in them. And if they could ask what they will, it would be done to them. So let's look at John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus wanted us to walk in joy. So what did he do? He wanted the disciples to walk in joy. He spoke the word of God to them that would cause their joy to remain, and that his joy might be in them and their joy might be full. He knew when he went to the cross they were going to be sad. He knew they were going to be downhearted. He knew they were going to be persecuted. They knew that he knew what was going to happen to them. But he wanted the joy to stay there. He wanted the joy to stay there. He knows what we go through. He knows the trials, the tribulation, the persecution. He knows it. He knows the attacks of the enemy. He knows what tries our patience. But he's given us his word so that his joy might remain in us and our joy might be full. You know, you cannot squash the joy of the Lord. You just can't do it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to do it, but they could not shut the disciples up. They could not get rid of the joy of the Lord that was in the disciples. And the enemy cannot get rid of the joy of the Lord that's in us. His joy is powerful. There's power in joy. Let's look at John 16, 23 and 24. The Gospel of John. And in that day, he's talking about the day that he is crucified and after the resurrection. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. That's why we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's just one way of praying. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll find out how Peter healed the lame man in the temple just by saying, "See, I'm going, have I none? But such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus." And that, rise up and walk. So whenever you ask the Father my name, he will give it you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Joy comes with answered prayer, and there is no limit to this joy. When we have our prayers answered, that gives us joy. And Jesus knew that. He said, ask. Ask the Father in my name. Ask him that your joy may be full. Why? Because if you ask, you receive. And who is not happy when your prayers are answered? It gives you joy. The lame man, when he got here, the Bible said he went leaping and walking and praising God into the temple. So answered prayer brings joy. So we are to keep asking the Father what we need and want in Jesus' name. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Luke 12, 32. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And guess what? It's my good pleasure to receive it. In yours, it's our good pleasure to receive the kingdom. Isn't your good pleasure when your bills get paid? Oh, yes. When you're seeking a blessing and God bring you a blessing? Yes. 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 So we thank God that God wants us to ask and receive, because asking and receiving makes our joy full. Let's look at Proverbs 13, 12. Proverbs 13, 12 says this. When hopes, dreams, and I'm reading the Passion Translation. When hopes, dreams seem to drag on, and the delay can be depressing. When you're praying for something, believing God for something, and it seems like there's a delay, and it's not coming, and it drags on, that can be depressing. But when at last your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul. And God knows that. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12, 3. Therefore, with joy, we are supposed to draw water from the wells of salvation. See, that joy is in us, and we got to draw it out. We got to draw it out. Romans 14, 17 says this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. In the kingdom, there is joy. There is joy. In the kingdom, there is joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Mean the Holy Spirit, what he does, he imparts the joy of the Lord in us. He imparts that. That joy just keeps on flowing. It keeps on flowing because he's in us. Jesus in us. And so they are the source of the joy. So that joy just keeps on flowing. It just keeps on flowing. It just keeps on flowing. It keeps on flowing. Romans 15:13 says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Hallelujah. Believing. Believing brings joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the God of hope. Believing causes joy and peace to abound or to multiply. Where there is peace and joy, hope abounds. And what's hope? Our earnest expectation and anticipation of God's goodness. We expect God's goodness to happen. We anticipate his goodness to happen. And when we anticipate and we expect, that gives us joy. That gives us joy. How is it that somebody that believes God for faith for their healing, and they say in them and then within themselves and to other people, I'm healed and I know I'm healed. They don't look healed. There's no evidence on the outside to heal yet. But the joy of the Lord is there because they have that hope, because they're believing. And they have received what God has already said is theirs. If I did not have hope, if I did not have joy that comes from hoping and believing, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know where I'd be. I don't really know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be here. But I wouldn't have the strength and the joy to be here. How do we do life from our place of joy? How do we do life? How do we walk this Christian walk from a place of joy? We're going to look at the 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Then we're going to go a little bit further. So how do we do life from our place of joy? How do we walk in that joy? How do we maintain that joy bubbling up from out of our spirit man? How do we live life in our place of joy? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, rejoice always. It's a decision. It's a conscious decision. We have to decide, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. So rejoice always. The 17th verse says, pray without ceasing. Remember Jesus said, ask the Father so you can receive and your joy will be full. So pray without ceasing. 18th verse, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. When my husband passed away 13 years ago and I was left a widow, I didn't thank God that he passed away. But I thank God in the midst of the situation because God was still good. And I remember saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whenever sadness would try to come or something concerning his death try to come, I would say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you said in your word, in all things give thanks. So right now, where I am in this grief, I'm going to thank the Lord. And that's what I did. I thanked the Lord through all of that. I gave him thanks. That was the will of God concerning me. So I just praised my way through it. And you know what happened? The joy came. The joy bubbled up. It just bubbled up. And I was able to minister to several other widows. And they would ask me, they said, how do you do it? How do you get to it, through it? I told them, I said, I would thank God. I would praise God. I would thank him. And that's how I got through it. The next verse, the 19th verse says, do not quench the spirit. Do not quench the spirit. If the Spirit of God say laugh, you laugh. If the Spirit of God say raise your hand, you raise your hand. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to get you in a place where your joy can bubble up. He's trying to get you out of that place of depression and that hopeless situation so that joy can overflow, so joy can overtake you. So don't quench the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit will say, have you smiling? Folks say, what are you smiling about? Don't you see what's going on? Don't you see this? Don't you see what they did to you? Don't you see how they treated you? Why are you smiling? Why are you laughing? But if the Holy Spirit say laugh and smile, you let that laugh out. You smile anyway. You know? And I used to give a step or two for the Lord, but I don't do that. Look, I can do a little step for the Lord. But if the Holy Spirit said run, you run. Holy Spirit said dance, you dance. If Holy Spirit tell you, now, you know they talked about you. They know they don't like you. You know they don't like you. But go give them something. He might tell you what to give them. Give them $5. Give them $10. Or give them a bouquet of flowers. Go do something for them. Buy them a bag of groceries, you know. Pay for them lunch or something. You know, don't quench the Holy Spirit because you know what's going to happen? Your joy going to bubble up. Your joy is going to bubble up. Whereas they thought they were doing you harm, joy is going to arise. The next thing you need to do is stay aware of his presence. Let's look at Psalm 16:11. Stay aware of his presence. Psalm 16:11 says this, you will show me the path of life because what? In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hands are what? Pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. You cannot be in the presence of God and not have joy. That joy will bubble up in his presence. That joy will make itself known in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. So stay in his presence. When you practice his presence, you can't help but remain in joy. How do you practice his presence? You just, in every situation that you're in every day, take a moment. And just maybe close your eyes if you can. If you're driving, don't close your eyes though. Just take a moment and get quiet and let yourself sense his presence. Let's let yourself sense his presence. He's there. He's there. The word of God says he never leaves us nor forsake us in Hebrews. So he's there. So just take a moment and just allow yourself to connect with the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And Brother Lawrence had a book called Practicing the Presence. And I read that several times. And he talked about how he just stayed aware of God's presence every day, no matter what he did. He was a monk. When he washed the dishes, he washed them in the presence of the Lord. When you're working, do it in the presence of the Lord. Whatever you're doing, do it in his presence. And the word of God said, do it not only in his presence, but do it as unto the Lord. Not for men, not for yourself, but as unto the Lord. Because his presence brings joy. His presence brings joy. His presence brings joy. Colossians 1:10-12 tells us Paul's prayer about having joy in long suffering. Sometimes we have to suffer long in some things. Sometimes we don't get a right now answer and deliverance. Sometimes it might take a while for deliverance to come. So Paul had his prayer in Colossians 1:10-12, because we need joy even in the midst of our long suffering. Because when you suffer long with something, it will try your patience and it will try to steal and kill your joy. And we know people that are suffering long with things. And they want deliverance, and you want deliverance for them, but it just have not come right then. So Paul had this prayer. And this is what he prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray that they might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul prayed this for the Colossians church. We need to pray the same prayer over ourselves so that we can have patience and long suffering with joy. Pray over yourself. Paul has some other prayers in the Bible too, this one in Colossians. Pray this prayer over yourself and pray this prayer for others that might be going through suffering and they're not quite getting through yet. Pray this prayer over them. Because while we're suffering, we need to walk worthy of the Lord. We still need to walk fully pleasing to him. We still need to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All that needs to be happening while we're going through the suffering. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. When you're suffering through something, you really need strength. For all patience and long suffering with joy. And then in the midst of all that, giving thanks to the Father, because he has qualified us to be partakers, what? Of the inheritance of the saints in light. So you need to pray that over yourself. Pray that over people that are seen to be suffering long with something and haven't seen deliverance yet. Let's go to James 1, 2, and 4. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Thank you, Jesus. When you're going through and facing something difficult, see it as an opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Joy. Take the opportunity to experience the greatest joy you can when there's difficulties that you're facing, when you're tested, when you need more endurance. Let that joy come out. And then I'm going to read this again. Then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Jesus endured the cross with joy. And he was our example. He is our example. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. How do we run this race with joy? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured it for the joy that was set before him. When he looked and he saw you, he saw me, it gave him joy. Do you see the joy that is set before you? Do you see every promise in Christ as yes and amen? Whatever you're going through, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where area you might have a lack of joy in. Maybe you're full of joy. You have no area where there's lack of joy. But maybe there's a situation in somebody's life where your joy is threatened. If your joy is threatened, do you see the joy that's set before you when you get through this? Do you see every promise in Christ as yes and amen? Can you, in the midst of what you're going through when your joy is threatened, can you see the power that's in joy? Can you see that you should not forget Psalms 103, 1 through 5? That was my favorite psalm one time when I was going through something. That was my favorite psalm because it tells us to speak to our soul and command it to bless the Lord. It tells everything within us to bless his name. It says, tell your soul to bless the Lord and not to forget all his benefits. I had to tell myself, soul, you bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Soul, you bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord with all that is within me. And now we can say on this other side of the psalm, we can change it up a little bit. We can say, these are the benefits. All your iniquities are forgiven. All your diseases are healed. Your life has been redeemed from destruction. You have been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed as the eagle. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will joy in the joy of the Lord. I will joy in my salvation. I will not forget all his benefits. Because when I think about the benefits of God, it gives me joy. When I think about all my sins are forgiven, thank you, Jesus. All my diseases have already been healed. Thank you, Lord. My life has been redeemed from destruction. I have been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed as the eagle. The power of joy. You cannot go through here and think about all these benefits and not stir up the joy that's in you. Woo-hoo. If you go through and repeat that, your joy bell is going to raise up. And it's going to go ding-ling, 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 ding-ding, joy, 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 joy. And I'm going to close with this because I like Habakkuk 3:17 through 18. I like the way Habakkuk said this. And Habakkuk made a statement, and we need to make a statement. We need to make a statement. We need to decide, okay, I don't care what comes or go. I'm going to let my joy stay and remain. I'm gonna do whatever it takes to keep my joy flowing. I'm not going to let my joy go. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let the enemy steal my joy. What's that song? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18, Habakkuk said this. Habakkuk said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. That's kind of bad, ain't it? Fig tree ain't got no blossom, no fruit on the vine, no olives, and the fields don't yield no food anymore. And the flocks be cut off from the fold. There's no cattle, no oxen, no whatever. And there be no herd in the stalls. No fruit, no meat, nothing to eat. If all that happens, Habakkuk said, one thing I know. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm not going to forget about joy. I'm not going to forget about joy. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because there's power in joy. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. Because when all else fails, I know something that will never, ever fail. And that's God. If everybody leave us and we all left alone, there's one person we know would never leave, and that's Jesus. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there with us. He's always there for us. In the midst of whatever we might go through, he's there. And joy is there. We just have to rejoice. Decide I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to say hallelujah when I don't feel like it. I'm going to praise him when it looks like I ought not be praising him. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, even in the midst of situations that I don't like, that I don't want to go through, but I'm still going to say thank you, Jesus. Do you not know everything we go through, we don't want to go through it. There's some things we go through we don't want to go through. But I'm going to thank you, Jesus. When I go through something I don't want to go through, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. There's something about praising the Lord that stirs up joy. It stirs up joy. It stirs up joy. So I thank God for the word of God today, because maybe you needed this word like me. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our power. When we're persecuted, we can be joyful. We can rely on the joy of the Lord. And it's the joy of the Lord that will get us through. Why? Because we have hope. We have joy. If you don't have no hope, you don't have no joy. But we have hope. We have expectation. We are anticipating the Lord to show up. We're anticipating the Lord to do what he promised to do. We're anticipating the Lord to do what we believe he's going to do. So therefore, we don't have to wait to what it looks like to have joy. We don't have to wait till things get all the way we want them to be to have joy. We can praise him now. What's that saying? Praise him now before the battle is over. Praise him. The joy of the Lord is power. There's power in joy. Let's stand. There's power in joy. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all those that are here to hear the word of God. We thank you for those online. We thank you for joy. God, your word talks about joy in so many places. And it's your desire that our joy remain, that your joy remain in us and our joy be full. You want us to be joyful people. You want us to walk around with the joy of the Lord just beaming from us. Because circumstances don't determine joy for us. Our joy has already been determined by you. You are our joy, Jesus. You're our joy. You're our joy. Hallelujah. And we joy in you and the finished work of the cross. We joy in you and the fact that our sins are forgiven. We joy in you and the fact that we have all the promises of God and they're yes and amen. So God, we thank you for joy this morning. Oh God, we thank you for joy this morning. Father God, we thank you for joy this morning. Joy is not determined by circumstances. We thank you for joy this morning, God. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joy. Oh, thank you for joy. Thank you for joy. Thank you for joy. Hallelujah. Thank you for joy. We just give you praise. We just magnify you. We just glorify your name, God, and we just say thank you, Jesus. You are our joy, Jesus. You are our joy. You are our joy. You are our joy. Yes, you are, Lord. We thank you for joy. 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 We thank you. Donnie, come here for a minute. You're on my mind. Father God, we thank you for Donnie right now. God, we thank you for the joy of the Lord that's on the inside of him. That's his strength. God, we ask you to stir that joy up even the more. Stir that joy up even the more, God. Let him know his joy is in you and you only. You're the author of the joy that's on the inside of him. You're the source of all that he goes and all that he has to do. You're his source and you're his joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your joy, God. Thank you for your joy. Let him do all the things he has to do with joy. All the things at work. All the things in his home with his family. All the things here. Let everything be done through the joy of the Lord that's in him. so that joy would bring forth strength. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get ready to close. Mary, before I close, I need you to come forth too. You got on my mind. Did it? Oh. Mary, thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for Mary. We bless her right now in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for your joy that's in Mary. We thank you for the joy right now in Jesus' name. And God, we ask you, God, to let that joy even bubble up even more. Yes, yes. Let that joy be present in every situation and throughout all the walk of her life. Let your joy be present. Let your joy overflow her and rise up in her, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your joy that's in Mary right now. Thank you, Father God. And God, let that joy that's in Mary, let it flood and flow over to other places and other people around her. Yes. Let that joy overflow out of Mary and let it flow on other people around her. In Jesus' name. God, we say thank you for your joy. We say thank you for your joy. We say thank you for your joy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Mary, Lord. And thank you for your joy. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your joy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mary, amen. I believe that there are going to be situations where it looks like there should be no joy, but you're going to have fullness of joy. You're going to have fullness of joy in those situations. But it's not, it's going to be the joy of the Lord. And I know you know that. It's going to be the joy of the Lord. And they're going to wonder, how in the world could she be so full of joy? And it's going to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Are there any prayer requests? Did you get it back, Mary? Oh, okay then. Oh, okay then. That was the internet thing then. Are there any prayer requests? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I thank God for all of you that's here today. I thank God for the word of God. I thank God for you. Thank you, Father God. We thank him for his presence. We just thank God. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He is so, so good. He's so good. We're going to close then and get ready to go. I pray everybody have a wonderful holiday tomorrow and on Zoom. Hope you have a wonderful holiday. I have no idea what I'm going to do, but whatever the Lord say do, I guess that's what I'll do. Amen. Amen. So let's be dismissed by saying amen. 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 Amen.